Hi, everyone, and welcome again to Don't Blame the CRM podcast. My name is Mikko. I'm one of the co-founders of Vainu. And this time I have a guest, Johanna from Mentimeter. Welcome, Johanna.
Thank you very much.
Maybe very briefly, first, would be nice if you could introduce yourself and also the company called Mentimeter, what the company does.
Absolutely. So my name is Johanna. I work as COO at Mentimeter. I've been with Mentimeter for 9 years since we were 7 people, including me. And now we're closing in on 380, I think. We have a product offering where you can collect a group's input and visualize it live to facilitate engagement in a group. So that is Mentimeter very shortly.
And Mentimeter is based in Sweden. Do you have also offices outside Sweden?
Exactly. So we were founded in Stockholm. And then I was actually the one who helped set up our North American office a couple of years ago. And we also have a Sydney office. So that is our 3 offices and the headquarters still being in Stockholm.
That's a nice setup, North America, Sydney and Stockholm. So I would imagine that based on the product, you have lots of customers. So 380 people and then lots of customers, so lots of small and medium-sized customers. And do you have also an enterprise business these days?
Exactly. So we've started as a self-service company and almost all of our revenue was from self-service. We started to get a lot of traction from organizations to buy a bigger offering. So now we have a large enterprise sales organizations, but still like a very solid self-service business. So it's 2 revenue streams, but it's the same kind of product that is sold, one in an enterprise packaging and one in a self-service packaging.
Excellent. And in case people want to understand more, mentimeter.com is the website. The reason why I invited Johanna for this episode is quite unique. Johanna's colleague, Christian Finstad, who used to be a colleague with me back in the days at Meltwater, he reached out because you have some plans to hire VP of Revenue Operations. That's, I guess, the plan.
That is the plan.
And then Christian, of course, I guess, has been watching and listening to this podcast. So he was thinking if I have some good candidates in my network. But we decided that we'll focus on that job opening, that profile, and also that decision why you feel that you need VP RevOps at this point. But so you haven't had any revenue operations team or at least VP of revenue operations up until this point. You're 380 people strong, you have lots of customers, you had self-serve, now you have also different segments. What was sort of the underlying reason why you felt that you need VP revenue ops, and do you already have a team in place, and if so, when was that team started?
Yes, we have a very solid sales operations team that we've founded like very early on in our enterprise sales, founding that function, which is doing a great job with sales operations. And we have a marketing operations and tech team, which is founded more recently. So like the functions are in place. We are still figuring out like how we bring our product into the picture, mm-hmm. since we have such a large chunk of our revenue coming from self-service. Yep. So the different bits and pieces are in place, but we also see the time it takes to create like the alignment needed to fully leverage the opportunities that we believe is there. Yep. So if you look at the traditional, like where are you in your RevOps journey? Maybe we have been siloed, we're getting towards aligned, but we want to make a leap into becoming more of a strategic focus of revenue operations, where we can attribute revenue generation from it. And therefore we think we need to bring the functions from sitting in each department in centrally collaborate under a strategic leader.
Yeah. So sales ops is something that you found it quite early on, and then marketing operations, it's a separate team. And then obviously you have lots of product data and product engagement data available. How about like customer success operations? Is that part of sales ops already now, or is it something completely new?
Yeah, so customer success at Mentimeter, there sits in enterprise sales. So they are embedded in post sales and work alongside our relationship managers. So I would say customer success ops is within sales ops scope.
Yes. And then do you remember who was the individual? Was it the company CEO? Was it you, someone in ops who came up with the idea that, hey, now it's time to have revenue operations and we need VP of RevOps? Can you remember who actually made that decision?
I would like not to take all the credit, but I would like to say that it was me who made the decision. And I think it comes partly from me sitting centrally. So in my department that I have as CEO, it's called Catalyst, and we catalyze business performance. So that's the data team, a full stack data team from data engineers to data analysts and the full value chain and business development. But seeing how to like create the alignment to fully leverage that data towards commercial functions, it was very hard. So from that perspective, I saw that a bridge was needed to be the commercial one voice towards the data team. And that is when I started creating the business case. And I would say like I pretty quickly got buy-in on it being a good idea, I think.
Yeah. And how is the recruitment going? I know that it's been out there, the job opening, already for a few weeks, and Mentimeter is a very good brand.
Yes.
I would say that you have a very good image out there among the candidates. How is the recruitment going? Have you already found the one that you want to hire, or is it a difficult position to fill?
I would say that so far, let's see, but so far I think it's one of the more difficult recruitments that I've done. Like I recruited a lot for Mentimeter in the journey of going to from 7 to soon 400 people. I've worked with it actively since coming back from vacation, so middle of August. But it is proving hard to find the combination of the skills that we are looking for.
And what is that combination? Like, what are you looking for? Because I would again highlight that Mentimeter it's well known in the SaaS space, excellent brand, growing fast. I think everybody knows that you have lots of data, which is typically a really good thing in these roles. You have the self-serve business and also at least the individuals that I know, lots of awesome colleagues. But why do you think it's difficult? What's that combination of skill sets you're looking for?
Yeah, I met amazing people in the recruitment process that have been very experienced leaders. But made like the hands-on aspect of the craft that I have come to call like the revenue operation craft in the processes, workflow, data, CRM has not been the core of the experience that they have. When I have met people who has that as a core, they have not yet had the experience in the leadership dimension. So that's what I've experienced so far in what makes it hard to find the candidate that I'm looking for.
Yeah. You mentioned like the core building blocks or key elements, understanding the CRM, the data, then you also want leadership qualities.
Yes.
Is that it, like understanding the CRM, understanding data, leadership, what else? Then you say that some people have the leadership experience while the others might have the CRM experience and data experience. And that's the combination is the difficult piece. But is there something else that you look for?
No, but I would say like if I were to bundle and say a bit more about like what do I mean with leadership experience, it is like partly that you as a leader will be leading other leaders. So you will have to be very good on the people management side, but you also need to have that kind of strategic direction, taking the company strategy and transforming that to revenue operation and making that very tangible. So both quite much experience on the people leadership side and the strategic leadership side. And then on the craft, I have bucketed it into what you said. You need to be able to align the company quite efficiently workflows and processes, data and the tech and tooling. So I mean, CRM is obviously a part of it, but I would say like also like marketing automation tool, the potential use of generative AI would probably be bundled under tech and tooling. And then we also do all of this within a company that is operating in a PLG-led motion or a product-led growth or product-led sales motion. And that's what I've gotten like the feedback on why the role is very interesting, is that you get to do this in a new type of motion that the majority comes from the sales-led motion background, and you get to take that and the best of that and merge it with the product-led motion.
Yeah, I think in general, it's at least my feeling is that it's easier to add sales-led motion on top of PLG versus the other way, like adding PLG on top of sales-led. Might be wrong, but that's just my gut feeling. That's the case.
Yeah, I agree. Menti was kind of born product-led before the word was very commonly used. So it's though the only thing I know.
Yeah, I see actually lots of similarities between Mentimeter and then a Finnish company called Supermetrics. I think both companies were quite early on in the PLG world, and maybe didn't talk about that term back then, then building sales teams and enterprise functions on top of the already working PLG engine. But do you feel that it's possible to come in and be in that VP RevOps role without SaaS experience, without being in these technology and software companies before? Could you just take, let's say, a management consultant, someone who's super smart, knows the business in and out, and that they could, I would imagine, quite quickly understand the basic concepts of SaaS and PLG motion? Do you feel that an outsider, like someone who doesn't have a software as a service experience, could be that person that you're looking for? Or do you feel that SaaS experience is sort of must have?
It's a very interesting question, because you want to think like that there are transferable skills and that where you can pick up on. But I do find it hard if you want to be like the leader and setting the direction and don't have that like SaaS very established tactics that you do apply. I think that what we've come to so far in the process, because we have had that asked that question to ourselves, and we've tested the hypothesis. So far, we see that it's quite hard to come in and fully understand the revenue motions to the level where we need it to be without having SaaS knowledge. And I wouldn't say that it's impossible in any way, but since it's a brand new role that we don't have currently, it's like setting and leading the way as being one of the more senior leaders at the company. I think that being able to set that direction without much maybe guidance and taking like the company direction that way, I think it would be hard, but I could be proven wrong.
Are you the one who's also running the interviews, or at least some parts of the interviews, and will the person be reporting to you as COO? Is that the plan?
Exactly. So the person will sit with me and my leadership team for this department called Catalyst, together with the VP of Data and Analytics, the Business Development Director, and the VP of Revenue Operations. And so they would be reporting to me. And I do run, I take all the first interviews, so the first 30-minute interview, and kind of align on expectations. And then I also do that. We have a first interview, then we have what we call a competency interview, when you make a case, a business case. And I am in that interview together with our Business Development Director. And then the last interview is our Leadership and Ways of Work Core Values interview, which is with our CEO and our CSO, Christian, that you know.
Okay, excellent. So let's give some tips for potential candidates. And I think these tips are also useful in other revenue ops recruitments. So when people send in their applications, like what's the first thing you look at? Like when you receive a new application, like what are the things you actually pay attention in those applications?
So I do have, I think it's like 3 or 4 screening questions that you fill in. Those are the first thing I look at. And it is, what is your leadership experience? And to like easily, I would say, like, it's not the only thing, but to easily screen for that, I would say, like, have you led other leaders? Do you have B2B SaaS experience? That would also be like a yes or no. And then I would say I have a question that you fill in of what is your accomplishment within the field? And that I would like to see the connection between revenue operations and revenue. So neither just revenue and neither just revenue operation. Preferably, I would like to see both of those aspects.
And maybe you don't want to share all the details about that business case that you also ask candidates to do.
Well, I can share details.
I think that's also interesting. Like, what type of business cases people need to do in these RevOps application processes?
So it's a business case, a fictional business case, roughly describing Mentimeter and where we are in our revenue operations journey. And it's highlighting 5 components that you would pick as like your first, this is what I would go for in revenue operations. And if I describe that briefly, and then it is like that is here and now. And discussing more like the operational aspect of the role. And then there's one question of 3 years in the future. Where do you see that that will have taken you to? That is very like short on the case.
Yeah. What are some of those examples, like those elements that they need to analyze the status today and 3 years from now? Is it like providing that, hey, this is the number of, I don't know, inbound leads or signups that we get, and these are the sources? Like, what do you think, where would you put the focus to maximize the number of signups down the road? Or
I would say that it's a little wider, but it's basically saying like my first thing that I would look at would be like that you have predictive modeling scoring for all aspects of your journey. For example, do you have an expansion score, a churn score, and a new biz scoring? It's also mapping that out kind of in a workflow in how the revenue process looks like.
Yes. And have you received and have you got lots of candidates so far?
I do have a good I met with very good candidates, but so far haven't found the right one.
Yeah, and do you feel that, like, most of those candidates, do they have a feeling that revenue ops is really the destination I wanna be in? Like, in some roles, I feel that you already have that people know that, okay, I wanna do growth marketing, or I wanna be a product manager in a company that is having a PLG motion. But then, is RevOps already there that people have decided that that's actually the function that I want to be in? Or is it more like senior, experienced, former sales leaders apply because they see that, hey, that might be interesting, something to do with revenue? Like, are people actually applying to RevOps, or is it more general applications that you receive?
I would say like there's a good mix of it. There's definitely the latter, but I do think that revenue operations in our market isn't established enough. I know that you and me spoke about it before. Like, obviously, the field as more of a scattered field has existed for a very long time, but in kind of collecting those competences into a craft, I wouldn't say that what I experience in our market, that is established enough yet for many people to say, like, I want to work within revenue operations, definitely within sales operations or within marketing operations. And I mean, like, it's not the biggest difference in between those two, but I would say that as a concept, revenue operations, no, I don't see the maturity in the craft yet of saying, like, this is what I want to do in my career. Definitely there is people out there, but not, if I were to weigh like the percentage, I don't see that in the majority of what I've seen so far.
And then last couple of questions. Do you already know the sort of the KPIs and goals for that individual? And are you planning to have a fixed base salary or also some on-target earnings on top of that? And those KPIs, do you have a plan to have individual KPIs or team level KPIs, or do you just use company KPIs when it comes to analyzing performance of that individual?
Very good questions. Also questions that we are asking ourselves. I can do with the variable first. So Mentimeter is a company, don't do any variables on any roles, any sales roles.
That's
so no commissions at Mentimeter. It's fully fixed salaries according to our salary strategy being in the 75th to 90th percentile of the market. Yep. So it won't be a variable. And in terms, and that is an interesting topic in itself. And,
we probably need another episode for that.
Yes. Christian is probably your person for that, our CSO.
Yep.
And in terms of KPIs, it is a bit tricky because this role won't have a full, if we say traditionally, a full P&L responsibility. Because that sits with split between our CSO, our CMO, and our CPO, or Chief Product Officer, and that are all fully P&L responsible at Mentimeter. And this person's role will be to catalyze them. And finding some form of proxy metric to measure the impact or a leading indicator will be needed. But owning on the company level, I would say, is owned by those roles. And I haven't fully figured that out. And I also haven't fully figured it out on how will we get the product organization into this in the best possible way, because we have the established sales ops function, we have the established marketing ops function. But since such a big chunk of our revenue comes from the product organization, and why people have found this role very interesting is that you also get to figure out like the puzzle on how to organize towards the product organization. That's also an outlier that I don't yet know.
And that's super interesting. I'll definitely speak with Christian about the fact that you don't have sales commissions at all. I think that's quite unique. Also like the fact that the person who's running products has revenue responsibility. It sort of makes sense if product is driving and generating lots of revenue as a self-serve. But yeah, then having those KPIs and leading indicators, because I also find it that there's no one way of doing it. Some companies have individual goals for revenue ops leaders. Some companies only rely on company goals, and some of them provide just fixed base salary, and some of them have heavy incentives in place. What are the most common misunderstandings you feel that candidates have? They apply to RevOps, and RevOps as a concept is quite new, especially in the Nordics. Like, what are some common misunderstandings, maybe things that they haven't been thinking in advance when they apply? Can you mention anything that is often surprising for candidates when it comes to these leadership roles in RevOps?
Very interesting question. I think like one common misunderstanding, and I don't know even how well I explain this myself, but the difference between operations and revenue operations / strategy and operations versus revenue operations. I would say that there's something in the distinction there that is a bit intangible also to myself sometime in trying to explain the difference of what you're looking for in a revenue operations person versus as myself being in the operations field primarily. So that one is I think that maybe is the one that I can highlight. And then I think that for Mentimeter having this, I would say like it's not the most traditional setup having the revenue responsibility split between a revenue trio and the implications of like what that means for the revenue operations role being still a strategic role. So not just operations support, like a strategic role, but without having like the ultimate responsibility for revenue, but rather catalyzing leadership. I would say that that is a complexity to explain that is not expected, but I can understand why it's not expected, since it's not the most traditional setup in a new field.
Sounds good. And last question, if we now have someone in the audience who feels that they want to apply and they could be a perfect fit with that role, what's the best way? I guess you can find the opening in the career page, but is it okay for them to reach out to you directly? What's your recommendation? How do you stand out? How do you actually move the needle in terms of being the one who applies and then gets a flying start in the process?
So I actually screen all the applications that comes in. So it's I screen the applications and I take all the first interviews. So I think that in terms of getting into like me looking at your applications, everyone who applies, I will be the one looking at the applications. So I think that the questions that I do ask when you fill in, like if you take some time and think through those questions, that is what I asked instead of, for example, a personal letter. So that's the chance to stand out, and I will be looking at those.
Excellent. Johanna, big thanks for being part of this episode, and I really hope that you'll find an awesome person to run RevOps at Mentimeter. And also big thanks for everyone who was watching this episode, and we'll be back with a new episode again quite soon. Thanks, everyone, for watching.
Thank you very much.